Welcome to the Resound Worship Songwriting Podcast, episode 135. I'm Joel Payne.
I'm Sam Hargreaves.
And this is a podcast to equip and inspire grassroots songwriters. Nearly got that wrong. Serving their local church and beyond. In this episode, we are joined by Chris, Ruth and Elise.
Woo-hoo!
Yay!
To look back... Chris was the really high-pitched one there, I think. To look back over May in the 12-song challenge, where we worked with the songs of the Bible that are not the Psalms, and we'll be exploring the theme of community as we set a new challenge for June. Welcome, everybody.
Hey.
Lovely to have you here. Amazing to have Chris and Sam on the podcast at the same time. Yeah. Chris, you were saying you think you've not before.
It's been my lifetime's ambition to be on the show with Sam rather than just filling in for Sam as the discount he's busy option.
We can't afford Sam every month. And Chris is just a bit cheaper. So it's fine. What's everybody been up to? Let's go. Right, Sam.
Hello. Well, since I was last on the pod, I've been to Spring Harvest.
Yeah.
We had super fun with some of the friends of the pod, like James and Sarah and other cool people. And we did the all-age venue and we did a morning reflections as well, which was new for us, but we really enjoyed that. It was like two ends of the spectrum, like morning reflection, very quiet, very reflective. All-age celebrations, loud actions.
It seems so unlikely they'd ask the same people to do those, doesn't it?
I know, but we just concluded that we're just weird and that we like doing those extremes.
Yeah, fair enough. Was it good?
It was great. Really enjoyed it. Yeah, it was good fun.
Nice. Chris, we went to a thing, didn't we, a couple of weeks ago?
Yes, we went to the inaugural Christian Music Alliance conference in London, which was very fun. So the Christian Music Alliance is a new organisation which has kind of evolved from the Christian Music Publishing. Sorry, that was my circular saw just fell off my sofa.
All things considered, it went surprisingly well. That could have been a lot worse.
It was okay. There it is. So they have become the Christian Music Alliance, broadening. So it's not just for music publishers, it's for anyone who works professionally in the Christian and gospel music genre. Mm. And it was really cool, actually. That's probably, I don't know, maybe 50 plus of us gathered at the building of KXC, the church at King's Cross. And super interesting. They had people from a variety of different music industry places. So someone from TikTok came and shared about music on TikTok, Christian and gospel on TikTok. And someone talked about micro licensing. Someone talked about PR. So it's kind of, you know, it's fairly detailed kind of engine room sort of stuff, but just such a great context to connect with other people working in Christian music. And I think my main takeaway is just how incredibly upbeat everybody was about Christian and gospel music in the UK, both church music and also sort of devotional music beyond Sunday music. There was a buzz. Everybody was really excited about how alive the scene feels at the moment, and that was just incredibly encouraging. And you know, we're obviously part of a much bigger ecosystem with what we're doing, and it's brilliant to feel connected to that.
Yeah, cool. Elise, welcome back to the pod. You haven't been on for a while. For those, there'll be some listeners who have not yet encountered you. So tell us who you are. Tell us about your United Adoration UK stuff that you do.
Yeah. So I'm Elise Massa. I'm up here in Durham and I lead an organization called United Adoration UK. We seek to further God's kingdom by revitalizing the creativity of the local church. And so we inspire grassroots artists of any discipline, visual arts, songwriting, creative writing, any of those, to come together, root themselves in the local church, get connected, connect with God, and then out of that, create in a way that they have been uniquely designed by their creator. So super fun stuff. We continue to lead our monthly gatherings online with 12 Song Challenge. Yeah. And we've launched a very exciting evening creative gathering. Wow. So normally they've been Wednesday throughout the day, Saturday throughout the day, first week of the month. But now we have an evening one for those who can't meet during the day. So that's super exciting. And then we also get together in person. So we have some creative spaces in June coming up in Durham and Walsall. And also our next retreat is going to be at the end of June in Halifax with Rob and Ruth Sutherland at their church.
Woo!
So yay. Super fun stuff.
Rob and Ruth Sutherland, who are they?
Well, what a segue, Joel. It's like you're a professional or something. Hi, I'm Ruth Sutherland. I'm married to Rob. And we, Rob's a vicar in our local church, Holy Nativity in Mixenden, which is in North Halifax, West Yorkshire, not Canada. And we've been here for about 12 years now in a small estate church in the heart of the community. And one of the things that we do here that people are often interested in is something called Rock Mass, which is kind of what it says on the tin, really. It's loud music, but a traditional liturgical kind of structured service. So very much in the traditional Church of England liturgy, everything you would expect, you know, opening prayers, the creed and communion. So it follows typical structure, but more of it is sung and more of it is, well, all of it is loud. And we combine, I suppose, using a classic and contemporary rock songs, the stuff you'd hear on the radio, songs by Altbridge, Van Halen, Aerosmith, Evanescence, with also songs that we've kind of traditional hymns that we've rocked up. So it turns out that you can play Amazing Grace to Every Breath You Take by The Police. That works. And Send the Fire, the Pentecost song, to Anarchy in the UK. So these things are
some we're all humming those now.
you're all thinking it. But also more recently, we and the other people in our band Metanoia have been writing our own songs. So kind of partly inspired by the challenges in 12 Song Challenge,
which amazing. Has
been fab. So we've been introducing some of our own songs in that, and that's been really well received. And it's a service that attracts people who wouldn't come to any other kind of service. But also we get visitors from around the region and even from around the world at times.
Wow. Can we really see it on YouTube somewhere?
Or... You can, yes. Yeah. There are videos on YouTube, yeah. If you just Google Rock Mass Halifax,
yeah.
If you just Google Rock Mass, it'll take you to a geology site, and that's very interesting. but yeah, there are videos and you can see it. And so the other part of it is, I guess, it's really multi-sensory as well. So we have incense, we have music, we have visuals, we have creative intercessions and prayers, and obviously the Eucharist, which Mass is just the more Catholic word for communion or Eucharist. So it's a lot of fun. We have visiting preachers every month, and yeah, it's a lot of fun, but it just feels like a really authentic way for us and I suppose our community to worship in a way that sits with our subculture, I suppose. Yeah,
it's brilliant. I went and was just weeping the whole time. It was so amazing.
Oh, was that because it was so loud? Or
No, it's because it was just so good. And just like to be able to worship God with really what just felt like everything was just amazing.
I mean, if not all of us have been to your church and like there's a proper setup there with the lights and the PA and it's brilliant. And it's also nestled in this little community surrounded by some hills. It's an absolutely extraordinary place, really, isn't it?
Mm. It really is, yeah.
In so many ways. Well, you three, thank you for joining us, upping the general coolness on the podcast for 1 month only. Shall we catch up on what happened in May? 12 Song Challenge. The challenge was to write songs inspired by the songs of the Bible that are not the Psalms. So there are different ways of counting these, but it's, you know, anywhere from, I don't know. Does anyone know actually how many? I can't remember. It's like 70 songs or something in there, other than the Psalms. Some of them are basically Psalms. but in different places. Some of them are short snippets. Some of them might be songs, might be a hymn, might be... We just said, let's take a generous view. And so we had a go. Nobody has done the stats as far as I can tell, but I'm pretty sure that Hannah's song and Mary's song were the winners out of this month. I don't know if anyone noticed any. Did anyone notice any particularly obscure ones?
Oh, I saw one where the lyrics, or what could be lyrics, weren't in the Bible, but it was about the two choirs in Nehemiah that go around opposing sides, and it was an imagination of what song they might sing. Oh, that was cool.
That is clever. Yeah.
Yeah. There was someone in my team that did imagine the song of Anna, because we get the song of Simeon, and then we get just a little, and Anna did this.
Yeah.
But we don't actually get Anna's song, so she imagined... you know, what Anna's song might sound like. I thought that was a really cool idea.
So one observation that I had was it started to be chatted about in the chatter on the main page, which is about, like, how do we take these songs and in a way, like, not appropriate them, but make them appropriate for our context when a lot of the songs are written into a specific context. And that is quite a challenge. And I think some people really tried to do that well.
I found it such a helpful month of Bible study, actually. I really enjoyed the meditation that I did for my own song, and then just being sort of when you listen to a song, you know, somebody's composed the lyrics, and so then you're critiquing the lyrics according to your own insights and opinions. Mm. But it was so interesting to be reading the lyrics of songs that people have written, and then having to have the text open to see what are the ways in which, you know, the specifics of those lyrics are actually really closely interacting with the text. And so I can't come in with a bit of feedback saying, oh, maybe it shouldn't go in that direction, because actually that's what scripture does. And so I found out really, it was such a fruitful month of engagement with the Bible as well as with songwriting.
Yeah, I think it brought out that same dilemma. Do you stay really faithful to the original text? But then that can be tricky in English to then for it to kind of have meter and rhythm that works. Or do you move away from that and maybe lose some of the fidelity to the original, but it's more singable? And that was a conversation we had with a few of our team this month.
Yeah, and I feel like both kinds of songs are so useful, like songs that really stick quite close and set the text. That's incredibly useful for engaging with the text. But then songs that kind of take a further journey to make them very accessible to a contemporary congregation, that also is a really profitable song.
I'd say one observation I have is that it perhaps highlighted how, as you were saying, particularly at least, there's a context to these. The psalms are in a songbook, and this is a songbook that was distilled over centuries, and a kind of package there for these are the useful songs, if you like. And then the songs that are in the other places, by and large, they're there to help tell a story or to help make a point. And so they're so contextual, it's almost as if they're not really, particularly in the Old Testament, perhaps, not really recorded there for us to try and sing, because otherwise they'd be collected in the Psalms with the other songs. And maybe that makes them sometimes a little bit harder to work with, because the ones with a broader appeal, the CCLI Psalm Top 150, are in the book. Well, shall we pick out a few? I've asked Ruth and Chris and Elise each to just pick out a song from their team, something where they thought someone engaged well with the challenge, and just tell us a thing or two about what they thought was particularly good about that one. Should we start with Ruth and tell us which team you are as well?
Hi, this is from Team Kendall, and we've chosen In Spark's song, The Song of Elizabeth, which is from Luke 1. So this is when Mary, who has recently become pregnant, visits her cousin Elizabeth, and Elizabeth recognises that her cousin Mary is carrying the Christ. And so it's a real song of joy. And it's actually some of the words, so it's Ian's just used the words from the Bible, but notes that these are part of the prayer, the Hail Mary, which I guess we many of us don't use in church anymore, unless you're in a particular kind of part of the more Roman Catholic or Anglo-Catholic churches. And I think we avoid thinking about some of these parts of the Bible or these kinds of songs because of the Reformation and I guess what's happened since then. Although I thought, actually, we seem to be quite happy singing about Mary at Christmas, but never at any other time. And I think what Ian has really beautifully done, which I think from my understanding of some of the more Catholic traditions, is that it's about pointing the way to Jesus. It's not about necessarily about Mary, although Mary is blessed, but it's blessed is the fruit of your womb. And Ian keeps coming back to that as the refrain, blessed is the fruit. And so Mary points the way to Jesus. The saints point the way to Jesus. And that's how it can be helpful if that's something people feel kind of comfortable in engaging with. I think he's also, it's a really, really pretty tune, and it's come out of him. He's kind of been playing around on the guitar in a different tuning. So for those of you who are guitar geeks, it's a dadgad tuning on the guitar for this one, but a really pretty tune. And I think it's really lovely.
Ian Sparks.
I think if Ian Sparks was part of my church, I'd get him to like sing the Bible reading every week.
Good
at setting Bible texts.
I wonder whether Ian, do you do this in your church? So Ian is a vicar, or nearly retired, not quite retired, I think. Do you do this in your church? Do you sing to them all the time? And if not, can you sing for as long as you've got left?
Exactly. If you're nearly retired, just
do it. Turn
over
the
whole service to yourself. Yeah.
Oh, great stuff. Elise, what do you got for us?
Oh, yeah. So we had a lot of great entries this month. The one I was particularly drawn to is Louise. It's either Houghton or Houghton.
Houghton,
forgive me.
I believe.
Well,
my apologies, Louise, if I got that wrong.
But her song, The Sound of Singing Fills the Air. I love the organ so much. I love postludes. I love everything the organ does. And she wrote this song based off of 2 Chronicles 5, which is the shortest song, I guess, in the Bible. Learned something new. And just kind of imagined it of what, you know, a call to worship from the organ. If you associate organs with funerals, you will not anymore once you listen to this. So, yeah.
The trumpets call, strike up the band, come worship God, so let's all stand. We join as one, our voices raise, with joy proclaim our thanks and praise. The sound of singing fills the air, no other God can quite compare. His glory billows everywhere, as all together we declare. God is good, his love endures forever and forever. God is good, his love endures forever and forever. His Spirit fills us with his grace. He loves for those who seek his
face. I know, I love it. Yeah. Can you just hear? the steel drums.
I can actually.
So good.
There's a calypso vibe there.
I think it also has a really traditional British seaside kind of feel as well.
Yeah, it does actually.
That kind of fairground, or seafront fairground kind of nostalgia. It's just really, it's just so cheerful because it's just, I guess, it's got that association with, you know, long summer holidays and that kind of stuff. It's lovely.
Oh, great.
Glory billowing everywhere.
Yeah.
I know.
It's a great image.
So good.
Yeah. Billow.
I also like it because I think Ryan Flanagan, liturgical folk, he talked about a priest who said, when we approach communion, we should be dancing.
Like, it's a joyful thing. Yeah.
And I really felt that Louise really caught that, like the covenant of grace coming before his throne. And so oftentimes those images are with deep reverence and solemnity, but actually there can be a great joy in those images as well. And I just thought she captured that.
The little musical, it's just such a really nice package because it's the same little shape moving up and then it all comes back down. And so it resolves really, it sets it up, resolves really nicely. Chris?
Yeah, Team Care Philly. Ooh. We've got Rob McClellan with his version of Song of Simeon, the Nunc Dimittis.
Sovereign Lord, just as you promised, send your servants out in peace. For these eyes have seen and believed, Jesus is our Savior. It was always your heart's desire, all the world would know your glory. It was always your heart to show every tribe and tongue your mercy. Sovereign Lord, just as you promised, send your servants out in peace. For these eyes seen and believed, Jesus is our saving grace. It was always your heart's desire, all the world would know your glory. It was always your heart to show every tribe and tongue your mercy. Promised Son, chosen one, some will kneel before you, others turn and run. Promised Son, chosen one, it was always your heart's desire, all the world would know your glory. It was always your heart to show every tribe and tongue your mercy. It was always your heart's desire, all the world would know.
Yeah, come
on.
It's just beautiful, isn't it? It captures that sort of like there's a yearning and a satisfaction in Simeon's song, and this captures like both of those things. And it's so interesting the way he's made it corporate, actually. Like, this song would have worked incredibly well as much more closely sort of having it from Simeon's perspective in the first person.
Yeah.
But Rob's turned it into a congregational song, and actually the sending out in peace now becomes almost like a missional thing. As opposed to my life is complete, which is certainly the tone that I get from the original, but it kind of, it just works perfectly in both senses, and it's just beautiful.
Which is what Jesus does in the upper room, isn't it? He sends them out in peace. He breathes on them, peace be with you. As the Father sent me, now I send you.
It's also lovely because this song, like the Nunc Dimittis, is traditionally, if I understand correctly, like one of the last songs we sing is part of evening prayer in the Church of England Book of Common Prayer. And so it fits really nicely in that context as well. Doesn't mean you only can sing it then, but for those of us who do, it's nice that it fits the setting.
Mm. Yeah, good job. Thank you. And now we're going to have a quick roundup of songs from the other teams. We asked the other team captains to pick out one song from their team they thought did a great job with the May Challenge. So what follows is a montage of clips, and here they are. From Team Eccles, we've got Heidi Cather with He's Won the Victory. From Team Dundee, Lois Putt with Hannah's Song. From Team Pontefract, Joshua Joshua, with Magnificat. From Team Cumberland, Andrew Clayton with The Steadfast Love. From Team Stilton, David Ward, Christ is Maker and King. From Team Yorkshire, Eric Sparks, Nunc Dimittis. From Team Wensleydale, Ben Shave with Holy Holy.
Awake, for there is war in the gate. March on, my soul, with might. Your enemy bears weapons of hate. God summons you to fight. As you stand firm against the foe, behold, your eyes shall see.
My heart rejoices in the Lord, my God. My heart rejoices in the Lord. He brings life from the grave. He is mighty to save. My heart rejoices.
Time for start of the month, where we highlight one member of our community who's been particularly helpful, encouraging, constructive, and generally prolific in the month before. And this month's star is Emily Whittaker.
Woo-hoo! Star, 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 star of the month.
It's time to set a new challenge for June. And June's theme is community songs. Bang, bang, bang. So these are songs which are, put it in a very brief form, are either from community, about community, or for community.
Whoa.
Or you add your own prepositions, if you wish, to community, through community,
under community,
with community, at community. On community.
From community.
This is quite a big theme for us in Resound Worship this year. We're trying to focus more on writing around this theme in various ways. I want to say at this point, we will be focusing quite a lot on this theme at the Wydell Retreat. So if you are coming to the Wydell Retreat, 15th to the 19th of June, there's still space to join 70 other local church worship songwriters, then we'd love to have you. So you might want to hold off till then, so that you don't post something up now and then write something really good at Wydell. I think, oh, I wish I'd done that one instead, or whatever it might be. You do what you like, but I'm just giving you the heads up on that. When we talk about community songs, two things. We mean, in this context, we mean community as in within the church community. Community can mean lots of things. It can be much broader than that. But there's an absolute sense in which a church is a community and does community and so on. So that's the kind of thing we want to explore as a value and as a key aspect of being a church. And the kind of focus with this stuff, as always, in 12 Song Challenges, think about your own community. But in some ways, that's particularly relevant here because it's kind of real communities rather than hypothetical communities in terms of the way that we do our writing. So the way we're doing this is breaking it down into three bits, three different ways of approaching this. The first is songs that reflect a practice of community. Second is songs that describe a theology of community. And the third is songs that provide a place for community. And we'll explain a little bit more about those as they go. So I'm going to start with the songs that reflect a practice of community. And essentially that means community somehow has led to your song. So it could be that what you do is you write in collaboration. Now, that might even just be you co-write, I guess, when you don't normally do that. And that would be an expression, just a practice of doing something communally. It might be that you draw together some people from your church and you write together with them. And that could be that you're all in a room trying to write a song. But it could be that you you get some people and ask them for ideas. Or remember when we interviewed Paul Zark, he said he went through a time of just going, sitting, talking with different people from his church and then writing a song out of it. So it came out from the community itself. It could be that somehow it just kind of flows out of an experience of community. Sometimes we write songs in response to experience, don't we? And that could be the thing that inspires the song. It could be describing something that is happening or has happened in your community. So it could be actually something that's more of a kind of a record of God at work, or of a struggle or a challenge or whatever it might be. So in that sense, it reflects your community. And maybe thinking particularly about the whole community rather than just sort of an individual or that kind of thing. And then finally, I was thinking you could dig into the history of your church community. It might be really interesting. Go and find out, when was your church planted? All churches were planted at some point. When was it built? What's the story going back? Who are those names on the wall? And what's the story of some of them? With most churches, there are stories. And maybe you could find some way of encapsulating that. And then you're kind of, you're telling the story of your community. So a bunch of different ways that you could reflect a practice of community. Chris, hit us with some stuff.
Those are about the process or the inspiration for the song. But it would be a perfectly appropriate thing to do to write a song in any form that describe the content is about community. I know with my worship leader hat on, that when we have sermon series on the life of the church or about Christian community, it's extraordinarily difficult to find songs that talk about those things completely out of proportion to particularly how much the New Testament talks about those kinds of things. So fill the gap there, write some songs that give a theology of community that could range from, here's some examples. So you could write a song that really talks about the community of God as the Trinity. Three relationships. You could write a song that uses the image from the New Testament of one body with many parts. You could write a song that engages Jesus' new commandment that we love one another. You could write a song on the subject of the bond of the Spirit. And as I said, there's just so much, particularly in Paul's letters, there's just so much content that talks about how Christians should relate to one another in community. So pick something that I haven't mentioned and write the song that when that chapter of scripture is preached on, oh, of course, we've got a song for that. So have a dig through the New Testament and read there.
Mm. rest of the team, right. any other bits of scripture that leap to mind when we're talking about that?
There's the stuff, isn't there, about how the apostles kind of lived together and they shared their money, yeah, and their resources, as a challenging model, I guess,
yeah,
in the modern era, to think about that model of community.
So let's go on to the third one, songs that provide a place for community. Sam, talk to us about this.
Yes, so there's a few thinkers and theologians who've pointed out that actually singing together in a group is in itself a kind of enacted form of community, and that we can learn what it means to be the body of Christ who are different and yet united by actually the act of singing together, and that thing of not being a soloist and kind of choosing to submit to the melody and to the rhythm and to the volume and all of that. And then I suppose what came out of that was the thought that some songs aren't necessarily written for a community. They're written to be a little bit more soloistic, and sometimes, you know, the community doesn't feel that important because the electric guitar part is so cool, or the lead vocal is so cool. So I guess we were thinking, what about songs that really put the congregation front and center? And sometimes that might involve using some devices, for example, like a multiple layered part song. So you might have three simple parts, a third of the congregation learns one part, a third learns the other, third learns the other. And then when they're put together, they're kind of singing in harmony, and there's something kind of, you kind of enacting that differentiated unity of the church by that structure of that song. Call and response is a very simple one, but that really, again, just, you know, it makes it very easy for people to join in, and it feels kind of communal because you're not necessarily having to read off a screen, and you feel your part there. Sometimes songs will be written to have like improvised or spontaneous sections. So I think about one of your old songs, Joel, called, it's gone out of my head. He's My Saviour. He's My Saviour. Yeah. So you wrote that so that you sing, He's My Saviour. He was crucified. He is risen. And then at the end you say, right, what else is Jesus to you? And people can shout out from the crowd, He's my friend, or He's my healer. And then you sing that. And so that's that sense of community, because the crowd is kind of making it up as you go along. So something like that could again, just encourage community. We've got here songs that need the congregation to write some lines first. And so I imagine that's a song where there's some sort of structure, there's some sort of refrain maybe, but actually you're asking people to think about, right, what does this look like this week? Or, you know, if it's an intercession song, what do we want to pray for this week? Or, you know, if this is about blessing our town, what are the parts of our town we want to play, you know? And then you would kind of essentially spend 5 minutes preparing that, and then you would sing it. I think that's a really cool idea. You've written here, Joel, something that mixes singing, doing, speaking, reading, hugging. Joel loves a hug song. Not everyone is so keen on the hug song. Some people run out of
holy kissing.
No passing the peace. We're just going to give hugs to people.
But yeah, maybe there's a song that, you know, it's written into it, that people actually interact in some way.
Tickling song.
A tickling song. Yeah, let's remember safeguarding people and consent. Well,
I was thinking it could be that your song, you might have a refrain that you sing, but then in between, I mean, it could be really simple. It could just be that the design of it is that people then pray spoken prayers that they make up. I mean, that's kind of simple. Or it could be that people read scripture. You're just involving different voices in different ways. So you're acting out this thing of the community being involved. But it could also be that there's something you all do as part of the song, whether it is an action or a craft or a movement or a hug. Do you remember May the Grace, which was on Songs for Sunday? We always do that one and get everyone going around the room hugging. Well, they're supposed to just go around and wish one another well, but they always end up hugging, which is very nice. So it kind of, the song itself provides the environment within which all those things happen. And so you could have a very loosely structured song, or you could have very highly structured but very empty to leave space for things and so on.
Yeah.
It kind of struck me as well on that these songs, because it's a community song, in terms of providing a place for community, it doesn't necessarily have to be kind of horizontally directed in what you're singing. it could be vertically directed, it could be sung to God, but it's done in a way which is drawing out different voices, or it's engaging the community as community while it does it.
Yeah.
I think my interest with this topic, as we've been mulling over it, is one of the conversations I occasionally hear from worship leaders, whether that is a sung worship leader or a church leader, is this idea of how do we have songs that the new person walking in will know or can engage in? Because I think we've all been in those situations where we walk into a new church and we just don't know any of the songs. And I think that this is a really neat opportunity to create and write a song that anybody walking in off the street can engage in some way. Because a lot of times the solution I hear is, well, we pick the song off the top 40 from the radio because that's the one people will most likely know. And there's a place for that. And there's a place for, well, let's just have a song that immediately puts everyone on the same singing field, so to speak. Yeah. And no matter who you are, what age you are, you'll be able to engage in some way, hopefully. I like it.
Yeah, these are songs that...
tradition.
You go, Ruth.
So you can say there's a huge tradition in hymn writings, and they're of borrowing the songs of the time. So the local song, folk songs, or the local songs that were being sung in the pub, and the hymn writers taking those tunes and writing Christian words to them so that people knew them already.
Mm-hmm. There you go. They didn't have copyright laws at the time.
Didn't have Juby in the room.
These are probably going to be songs that are more about voices than about bands, probably. That's a little hint that we found as we've begun doing a little bit of work on this amongst ourselves. The more the song is just totally dependent on voices and independent of instruments, the more it seems to do this job. And actually, something that we found, although, you know, your mileage may vary, is that simpler songs, shorter and simpler songs that are easier to learn and that just get straight to the point, they're seeming to be more compatible with these kinds of themes than long and more complicated structures.
Yeah. Another thing is to think about places where community singing feels natural or happens. So I was just thinking about a campfire. You know, the kind of songs you sing around a campfire tend to be short, repetitive, possibly slightly humorous. You know what I mean? Like, you know, and that you feel this sense of community singing those songs. Or I suppose, again, this is going to be a sports metaphor that I don't really understand, but, you know, maybe the kinds of songs that get sung on the terraces, you know, and have that
and they
sense
tend
of
to,
community.
They tend to do that thing that Ruth said, which is they borrow a tune that everybody knows and they write some rude words to it.
But, like, the people don't... Do you study the songs? Genuine question. Do you learn the chants before you show up to the match? Or do you learn them there? Like, who writes these chants?
So what actually happens... I mean, I haven't been... I was a season ticket holder in my youth, and people would turn up with sheets of paper that they'd printed with new words for a song, and they were usually terrible words, but they would consider themselves the song leader of that particular stand, and so they'd be just dishing out the papers so everyone could sing it. Now obviously there's a bunch of other ones that you just learn just by standing there in the stand and you hear them sing it, and it can take years to finally figure out what the words are that everybody is singing, because they are murdered.
There's a 12 song challenge for football terrace songs out there somewhere.
I think there is
a little internet community where they encourage one another. Oh, that's brilliant, but if you could just add another swear word in, that would be so much better.
What this has got me thinking about quite a bit, this idea, I guess we're homing in a bit on these songs that provide a place for community, and I should say, you know, as always, you don't have to do all the different things we're suggesting, pick one. So it might be that your song is a really straight up and down verse, chorus, pre-chorus and bridge song, but what it talks about is community stuff, then great, just do that, or whatever. But in thinking about this idea of songs, you know, we sometimes talk about leading worship, and so as soon as we're singing in church, we say we call it worship. What we're doing here is worshiping, and I think there's a case for saying what we're doing here is community. As you know, that's also a thing that you could call it. You could call it leading community when you lead songs, and it's kind of, it feels a little bit challenging, except that I just think there seems to be such a priority on community in New Testament teaching on worship that I think gathering and singing are doing community. So why not think in those terms about the song that you try to write this month? When I write it and then when we sing it, and your community could be, this is a really good opportunity to think very specifically about a, you know, it may be a portion of your community. It might be your small group, or it might be your prayer meeting, the people, and you know the people who always cut, you know the actual people and the voices who is there. So you can really think, you know, how do I describe this community? What is happening in here? Who are the people? What can they sing? What will they sing? What won't they sing? And so on, in terms of trying to think, how do I actually, I mean, we kind of say this every week in a way, but how do I engage all the people? But I suppose that's a particular focus of one aspect of that this month.
I'm also just thinking, is there a song about kind of, I don't know if this is encapsulated some of the ones you've already talked about, but about sort of the restoration of community?
Mm.
I can't remember it now, but there is an early Graham Kendrick song, some of you, Juby, you probably know, that he wrote when there was, in a group he was part of, there was like a breakdown in relationships, and he wrote a song which was basically about, hey guys, let's come back together, let's see each other as Christ sees us.
He did, okay, As We're Gathered, Jesus Is Here. Was that Kendrick?
Yeah, maybe.
Which maybe,
anyway, one of those Graham Kendrick songs.
You've out-obscured me in your niche Graham Kendrick facts there.
Anyway, but I remember him telling the story, and that he wrote it into a very specific kind of community breakdown, and then that was part of restoring that community. And so I just wonder whether, you know, it might be also that you want to write a song into the restoration of community.
It was John Daniels. I take it back. It wasn't Graham Kendrick. My apologies to John and to Graham. Also, you could do a real service to the church by giving us an alternative to bind us together.
Amen.
Yes. Good stuff. All right. Let's do this. I'm looking forward to this. As I said, we're going to focus a bit more on this at Wydale. We'll have some talks that dig quite a lot more deeply into this as well. So I think we will this year try and make a point of actually recording those talks and making some of those available to at least the 12-song community or whomever in some way or form. Good stuff. Thank you so much to Ruth and to Elise and to Chris and to Sam. All that remains is to leave a featured song. And I think, why don't we feature that song that you mentioned, Sam, which I think we've got a recording of somewhere, which is my small group in London from about 15 years ago, singing it and calling out lies. So we'll dig that one out. We'll put He's My Saviour on the end of the pod. Until next time, bye-bye.
Bye.
He's my Saviour, He's my Saviour, Christ the Lord. He's my Saviour, He's my Saviour, He's my Saviour, Christ the Lord. He was crucified, He was crucified, Christ the Lord. He is risen, He is risen, He is risen, Christ the Lord. He is coming, He is coming. He is faithful, He
Christ the Lord.